Welcome to Test All Things. Test All Things is an outreach of Tower to Truth Ministries, and I'm your host, Fran Sankey. You can find us on the web at www.towertotruth.net. Test All Things is a Bible discernment evangelistic program. It's dedicated to creating an awareness of and biblical answers to false religious teachings opposing Christianity today. Today I'll be interviewing Doris Hansen. Doris is a former member of a Mormon fundamentalist sect growing up in a polygamous household. Doris has since escaped from the polygamous cult and has been saved by Jesus Christ, who gave her a burden for others who are trapped in polygamy. Her ministry is called A Shield and Refuge Ministries, based in Salt Lake City, Utah, and the goal of her ministry is to be an instrument of God to bring members of a Mormon fundamentalist group into a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ and to facilitate a smooth and safe exit for anyone desiring to leave a polygamous group. Welcome to the show, Doris.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here.
Great. Glad to have you. Doris, what is Mormon fundamentalism?
Mormon fundamentalism is a breakoff from the regular Mormon church, the mainline Mormon church, and the groups that break off follow the teachings of Joseph Smith more closely than the mainline modern Mormon church does. The basic doctrines that they live, that the Mormon church does not live, is polygamy and the United Order.
What is the United Order, Doris?
The United Order is, actually, in a word, it's communism. What they do is the groups will ask each member to give to the group everything that they own, and they put it all in one pot and then supposedly are supposed to give it out equally to those in need, but it never works out that way. Brigham Young lived the United Order, or tried to get the Mormons at that time to live it, and it didn't work then, and it isn't working now.
So how long were you a part of this group?
I was born and raised in the Kingston polygamy group, and I grew up in the group when I turned 18 years old. Just a few days after I turned 18, I left. So I was in it for all my life until I was 18.
Is this group in Utah?
Yes, it's in Utah. They have people scattered throughout Idaho and Nevada, but most of them are in Utah.
Is there any count on how many polygamous families currently live in the United States?
Well, there's not an actual count. I don't know if it's possible to get an actual count, but many estimates count around 50 to 100,000 polygamists in the country.
Do they all live in, like, sects by themselves, or do some just maybe live down the street from you or somebody in a residential neighborhood?
Yes, there are many that are what they call independent. They just live it because they feel like it's the thing to do without any group a prophetic authority or priesthood authority. But most of the polygamy groups, or the polygamists, are in groups, and then they would have a prophet who would be the one that holds the keys to the kingdom of God, so to speak, and they are concentrated mostly in the Utah-Colorado area.
Now, last time I checked, polygamy is illegal in the United States, so how do they get away with this?
Well, it's still illegal in the United States, and it's illegal in every state that it's being lived, and the Attorney General here in Salt Lake and in Utah said that he would not prosecute polygamists, but he would prosecute crimes that came from polygamy groups, like underage marriages and abuse and welfare fraud and that kind of activity. But it's really kind of a can of worms right now. If they prosecuted polygamy, how would they prove it? I know when I was still in the group in the late 50s or early 60s, I don't remember exactly, the state of Utah tried to prosecute polygamists, and they arrested some of the men and brought some of the wives before the grand jury. And they did not get anywhere with that because none of the women would testify against themselves, and certainly not against their husband. They all stood on the Fifth Amendment, and they had to close off without doing anything.
We're talking today with Doris Hansen from A Shield and Refuge Ministries. You can contact Doris at 877-425-9993 or her website, which is shieldandrefuge.org, and all inquiries are held confidential. Doris, why is polygamy so important to Mormon fundamentalism?
It's important because it's a teaching of Joseph Smith, who is the founding prophet of Mormonism. He had a revelation from God, supposedly, that living polygamy was the only way that someone could get into heaven, and a woman could not get there without a husband, and polygamy was a new and everlasting covenant, and therefore, because Joseph Smith was the originating prophet of the church, it is a doctrine that they believe is valid still.
And what is the relationship between Mormon fundamentalism and the mainstream Latter-day Saint church? How do they view one another?
Well, the relationship, they both still believe in Joseph Smith as the founding prophet, and they both equally believe in the Mormon scriptures, but it ends there, basically. They view one another other than those two items. LDS Church condemns polygamy, and they claim that they will excommunicate any one of their members that will be living polygamy. But the fundamentalists hold on to the original doctrines of Joseph Smith, and so they live polygamy. They believe that the Mormon Church is in a state of apostasy because they have given it up.
Now, I have a quote here from Jacob 2:27 in the Book of Mormon. It says, "Hearken to the word of the Lord, for there shall not any man among you have save it be one wife, and concubines he shall have none." Now, that clearly states that polygamy is not a good thing. So how was plural marriage introduced into Mormonism if their own book, the Book of Mormon, condemns it?
I find that interesting. Joseph Smith made the remark that while he was praying to God about polygamy, God then gave him the revelation of the Doctrine and Covenants, section 132. And my question is, when the Book of Mormon, which was already written, has scriptures like the one you just read, and there are others, why he was even asking God about it if God had already given his mind about it being wrong? So he had a tendency, though, in his own personal nature to admire other women, and his wife Emma noticed that and caught him in one of his dilly-dallying, so to speak. And so he promptly had his revelation from God that polygamy was supposed to be lived. And so actually it was a convenient revelation that he had so Emma would not be so jealous when he was with his other women.
Convenient A. How do you explain the Old Testament examples of men who had many wives but seemed to be blessed by God?
Well, that was a study I needed to do after I left. I needed to find out about that, too, because one of the best ways that they teach us is through the example of the Old Testament patriarchs. Abraham is called the father of the faithful, and, of course, Jacob is the father of the nation of Israel, and they both lived polygamy. And so you would think, well, it must have been God's okay if they did it. The Mormons claim that Moses and Isaac lived polygamy, but they don't. They did not, excuse me. They never did live polygamy. There's no place in the Bible that shows that they did. But David and Solomon did, and the Bible says that David was a man after God's own heart, and Solomon was loved by God. And so you read where these people lived polygamy and think, well, God must have commanded it or at least condoned it. But we also read in the Bible where David committed murder, and Solomon had 700 wives and 300 concubines, and his heart left the Lord. Abraham, we find that he lied. He went down to Egypt and lied to Pharaoh. And Jacob was also a liar and a deceiver and a manipulator and stole the birthright. And so we see that these men were sinners, just like you and I are sinners. And we see that God is a loving God, a God who forgives a repentant sinner. And we see in the Bible that God never commanded any of those men to live polygamy. In fact, he commanded them not to. In the Ten Commandments, we're told not to commit adultery, and that, of course, involves polygamy. And also in Deuteronomy 17:17, it warns the kings not to multiply wives unto himself. And so we see that although God commanded against sexual immorality of any kind, he was also a forgiving and a good God, and he didn't wink at it or overlook it. He's just the kind of a God that will forgive those who go against his commands.
I'm talking with Doris Hansen from A Shield and Refuge Ministries. Her phone number is 877-425-9993. She would love to talk to you, or you can go to her website at shieldandrefuge.org. Doris, what is the primary purpose of a Mormon fundamentalist woman?
The primary purpose of a fundamentalist woman is to submit to her husband, to accept other wives into the family, and to to bear children. That's her main purpose.
Okay. Now Mormonism, don't they teach that God the Father was also a polygamist?
Yes. In fact, they teach that he and Jesus himself were also polygamists. Orson Pratt, he authored the book The Seer, and he claims on page 172 that God the Father and Jesus Christ were polygamists. Also in the Journal of Discourses, volume 2, page 210, we read where they were preaching at that Jesus Christ was married, and he was married to Mary and to Martha, that he had other wives, and that he begat children. And one of the claims, the Kingston group, is that they are a direct bloodline from Jesus Christ's children. And so that is the reason that they are the only correct group on the face of the planet.
Hey, that's interesting. When I talk to Mormon, maybe elders, and I would bring up something to that effect that Jesus was married and the father was a polygamist, they will really either downplay that or just outright deny that that was ever taught in Mormonism. And is this something that you've ever found to be true?
Oh, yes. In fact, I encountered one not too long ago when I was speaking to one of the churches. A Mormon man was there, and he got up and denied that it was taught or is taught, but it's right there in their own writings.
Yeah, and Joseph Smith also had many wives. Do you know how many he had?
Well, nobody really knows for sure. There's numbers ranging from about 33 to over 50. Fawn Brody wrote a book called No Man Knows My History, and she claims there were about 49 documented wives that Joseph Smith had.
Well, when you have that many, I guess you can forget a few of them. All right. Doris, there is a DVD about polygamy and Mormonism. Do you want to say a few words about that and where we could find it?
Yes, a video or a DVD was produced and released a couple of months ago. It's called Lifting the Veil of Polygamy. It is a very moving DVD, and it chronicles the experiences of about 9 people who were in polygamy situations, either born into them or raised in them, married into them, and subsequently left and found Jesus as their Savior. It's very, very touching and extremely interesting as you compare Mormon fundamentalism with modern Mormon doctrine. You can go on my webpage at www.shieldandrefuge.org, and it will give you information on how to order the DVD.
Yes, I've seen the DVD. It's very moving, very informative. Doris, a little bit about your personal life growing up. You grew up in polygamy. Did you have a close relationship with your father or mother/mothers?
No, there was no close relationship with either any of the parents or even with the brothers and sisters until we got older and realized the value of it. But I recall after I became a Christian, I looked back on my past and realized that I had not one time been told I was loved by any of my parents.
How did the thought of someday growing up and being a polygamous wife make you feel when you were growing up?
Well, I was about 10 years old when I discovered what polygamy was and who my real father was, and I was too young to really understand or to be repelled by it. I guess I wasn't either for or against it at that time, but as I grew older and the the life in my home was bad. It was real bad, very abusive. I did not want to have anything to do with it. It scared me, and it repelled me the older I got.
Other than being so young, what kept you in the group? Was there fear, or did you believe it was the truth? Were there threats of leaving? What was it?
They use a lot of fear. The tools of the cults are fear and guilt, and they use it in the polygamy groups very nicely, very, very well. Yes, fear kept me maybe from making the final decision at first to leave, but I just decided I'd overcome the fear and leave anyway. But yes, they do use fear. They do use threats. If you leave or tell anything about the group, they threaten that you will be sent into the deepest depths of hell, that you will become a son of perdition, that there is no forgiveness for that kind of a sin.
So you had a lack of love from your parents. What was your view of God? Was he a God of love or just a God of anger? How did you view God?
I had never heard that God loved me until I started the trek to becoming a Christian. My view of God was that he was a very mean God, a very angry, vindictive, vengeance, God of vengeance and punishment. He was just waiting for me to sin at every point so that he could blast me. He was a God who demanded more than was possible to give, who demanded a life of horror and misery. I had no idea that God loved me or that he had mercy and grace on me. I knew that Jesus had died on the cross because I was a sinner, but I didn't know that he died on the cross to pay for my sins.
Now, this view of God, is this typical of others who are in fundamentalist cults?
I think pretty much. A lot of it depends on the mother, what the mother teaches in the home. And my mother was very fanatical in the way she taught, but I believe overall most of the people have the same idea of God as I did.
We're talking with Doris Hansen today from Shield and Refuge Ministries. That is shieldandrefuge.org if you want to contact Doris, or you can call her at 877-425-9993. And by the way, all calls are held confidential. Doris, stereotype a Mormon fundamentalist for us. What is their typical lifestyle?
Well, all the groups are different, so it's rather difficult to stereotype based upon the different kinds of groups there are. But in order to do that, I guess I'd say the primary purpose of each person is to support the group in every single way that you can. You are to make sure the group prospers. You are to keep their secrets a secret. The women would support the group by having as many babies as they can and caring for the family and for the husband. And the men are to be sure that they take as many wives as is allowed to them and that they also have large families. He is to provide living for the wives, although not necessarily living expenses. Many of them will live in very trashy homes. Many of them don't. So that's kind of not stereotypable. But each family is required to be sure that the money that they make is given to the group, and that is the United Order plan. And then the group will divvy out the money according to what they think the needs are. They are to honor the prophet in everything, and they are to obey without question.
Are these groups, are these families generally happy and balanced families?
You know, I've seen some programs on television and read a few articles where they have presented happy polygamy families. The mothers are happy, the children are well-adjusted, and so on. But I believe that 99% of polygamy families is just the opposite. If the truth were known, they could talk freely without fear or any retaliation. I believe most women could admit that they suffer unfulfillment and unhappiness. And that's even assuming that they still have feelings to feel. A lot of them will just put aside their feelings and bury them very deep. So I do not believe that they are happy and blessed.
Just a two-part question, trying to understand this. Do the multiple wives live under the same roof with the husband? And if they do, I would figure there would be some kind of rivalry going on between these wives, just vying for the husband's attention and affection. How does that work?
Whether they live under the same roof or not, it depends on each family. My mom did not live under the same roof as the first wife. We lived in separate homes, even in separate towns. Some families do, some don't. Colorado City, I believe most of them live in separate homes, but it's not unusual to see them living together as well. Yes, there is a lot of bitterness and a lot of rivalry. Again, you may see articles or programs where they will say that isn't true. But again, deep inside, it is true. They have the emotions of jealousy when their husband goes to bed with another woman, and that they know that that is what he's doing. And that hurts. That hurts deep. I've seen my mother go through so much pain. I wasn't married in it, but I know women who were. And I saw my mother go through it, and it was awful. And I saw the first wife go through it. And they tried to deny those feelings, but they are there. God told Eve that her desire would be for her husband, and he made women to desire their husband. He made them to be emotionally jealous if her man goes to another woman. So there's really nothing wrong with it, and they're trying to teach the women there is something wrong with it.
I'm talking today with Doris Hansen from A Shield and Refuge Ministries. Her website is shieldandrefuge.org. You can call her at 877-425-9993. Doris, is there any kind of abuse toward women or children in polygamous communities?
Yes, there definitely is. There's a lot of abuse. There's a lot of sexual abuse to boys and girls. There is multitudes of physical abuse. Our family was hugely physically abused. Sexual abuse is rarely prosecuted because, first of all, these communities are so closed that the allegations can't even be made. It's rare that it's made, and rare that they can even find proof. I've heard people brag about that they are grown up in homes where there's dozens of children and dozens of mothers and everybody is happy and taking care of each other, but that isn't normal, and that isn't natural to have several mothers and to have one father and dozens of siblings. It's emotional abuse and deprivation, and there's a huge lack of fathering the children. And of taking care and even being able to watch all those children so that they're safe.
So how did you find the Lord?
Well, I had escaped when I was 18, and I had run from this mean and awful God that I had been raised to believe in, and I didn't know there was a different God. I didn't know about it for many, many years later. During a particular dry, boring period in my life, I happened to pick up a book about Mormonism, early Mormonism, and that book made the statement that God loved me, and I had never heard that before. And as I was reading that, I decided I needed to find out more about this God who loved me, and so I started to dig, and I got into the Bible, and I found the verse in where we're saved by grace and not by works, and I just hit the ceiling on that one. I couldn't believe it. And then the one in Romans where if we believe in our heart that Jesus is Lord and confess with our mouth. I knew that I believed what it was saying, and I placed my trust in Him, the God who loved me, and I have not been disappointed.
Real quick, Doris, what would you say to somebody right now trapped in a polygamous lifestyle who may be listening somehow?
Well, I pray there are some out there who are listening, and I pray that they will know and understand and reach out for help, that God loves them and that He does not require you to live polygamy in order to reach the celestial kingdom. God does not require you to be under a priesthood holder of the Mormon Church or of Joseph Smith's priesthood authority in order for you to get to heaven. That salvation comes through Jesus Christ alone. And if you want more information about this, I would love to help you. If you'd just give me a call, get in the Bible and read the Gospel of John. Read the New Testament. Just ask God to show Him your truth, His truth into your heart.
And if you're interested in a copy of this two-part interview with Doris Hansen on Mormon fundamentalism, a polygamous cult, you can contact me. My email is help@tower2truth.net, and my phone number is 610-513-5525. That's 610-513-5525. Don't forget to tune in next week for another apologetic issue facing Christianity today. And remember, don't just believe everything you hear, but test all things.